beautiful night and what a very, very attractive audience.
We did what was demanded of us at the time. Assumed we were doomed, shucked and jived in public and took it out on each other in the dark, muffled silence of our rooms.
I'm from Guam originally. We are a U.S. territory, but we're still our own culture. It's very closeted and homophobic there and transphobic. So this is going out to all of my peeps.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Opening ceremonies launch the annual Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras. There's less sex and more mayhem in part two of A Movie Made of Sound. And a San Fran tranny boy slams the poetry and hips the hop. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending February 14, 2004. The Legislative Assembly of the Australian Capital Territory this week passed its Labor government's bills amending more than two dozen territorial laws towards equal treatment of gays and lesbians, and especially same-gender couples. An omnibus measure passed almost a year ago already amended more than three dozen other territorial laws, including several responding to transgender issues. The latest move eliminates the so-called homosexual panic defense, which has sometimes served to reduce charges from murder to manslaughter in homicides where the killer claimed to be reacting to a homosexual advance by the victim. It also makes the ACT Australia's third region to criminalize vilification based on sexual orientation or HIV/AIDS status. Same-gender partners gain status, including standing to claim workers' compensation for on-the-job injuries and recognition under territorial law that they lack under Australian federal law.
But the most controversial element, dominating both debate and media coverage, was opening adoptions to same-gender couples. The ACT's parentage bill is believed to be the first in the nation to allow gay and lesbian couples to adopt children not related to them. So-called stranger adoptions are rare in Australia, with couples seeking children outnumbering children needing homes. Of course, all actual adoption decisions are made on a case-by-case basis in the courts. But Christian conservatives staged three major rallies attended by hundreds of people to protest the move, and Liberal Party assembly members vigorously opposed it, labeling it social engineering. Even Australia's Liberal Party Prime Minister John Howard restated his personal opposition, telling reporters that although he doesn't seek to discriminate against gays and lesbians, he believes that gay adoption goes against what the community regards as the traditional family formation, and that is a mother and father. He said, "I don't support gay adoption and I regret attempts to achieve it in different parts of Australia. I don't believe changes of this nature will strengthen family life." Ultimately, the ACT bill passed 11-6, with three independents joining the Democrats, Greens, and Labor in support. The ACT's gays and lesbians gain equality in other aspects of parenting as well. Lesbian partners of biological mothers can be named as parents on birth certificates, whether the child was conceived by medical or private artificial insemination or through intercourse. The territory has some provisions for legal surrogacy agreements, and same-gender couples now have equal access to them.
The Australian Capital Territory and Italy are heading in opposite directions on parenting issues, as Italy's Chamber of Deputies has approved harsh new restrictions on assisted reproduction that explicitly exclude lesbians and gays. The Italian Senate had already okayed the bill before the lower house voted for it by a 10% margin this week, but it still needs President Carlo Azeglio Ciampi's signature to become law. Physicians would be punished with fines and license suspensions for violating the new rules, which represent the nation's first ever regulations for assisted reproduction. Artificial insemination would be available exclusively to heterosexually married or partnered women, and even for them, artificial insemination will be allowed only with sperm from their husbands, and only if those women are of childbearing age and their husbands are still alive. Women requiring in vitro fertilization will be allowed only three embryos, which must be implanted at the same time. Surrogacy and cloning will be entirely banned.
Slovakia's cabinet this week approved a bill prohibiting discrimination, including bias based on sexual orientation. Christian Democrats opposed the move, but the rest of the multi-party ruling coalition outvoted them. The measure is designed to bring national civil rights protections into line with the standards of the European Union, which Slovakia hopes to join. Yet its fate in the parliament is not clear. The Slovak government's proposal exempts religious groups from employing gays and lesbians and does not deal with issues of adoption or legal recognition of same-gender couples.
The European Court of Human Rights this week ordered compensation paid to a man prosecuted under an unequal age of consent law, even though he was acquitted. The British man, known in court papers as BB, was prosecuted in 1998 for having sex with a 16-year-old male, at a time when the age of consent was 16 for heterosexual acts, but 18 for homosexual acts. The court agreed with BB that this constituted prohibited discrimination and ordered Britain to pay him 7,000 euros to compensate for his suffering for having been prosecuted. The ruling added that the compensation would have been higher had he been convicted. Britain has since equalized the age of consent at 16, but the nation now faces the prospect of more retroactive compensation claims from other men previously prosecuted.
Britain's House of Lords this week approved the government's sweeping gender recognition bill by a nearly 3-to-1 margin. It will return to the House of Commons next, but its enactment is now virtually assured and is expected to go into effect in the coming year. It will allow transsexuals to revise their birth certificates to reflect their self-identified gender and to marry someone of the opposite gender. Churches can refuse to perform those ceremonies, but a Tory move to allow discrimination against transsexuals for other religious activities or ceremonies was narrowly defeated.
UK Anglicans were also talking about marriage this week at the Church of England's General Synod meeting. There was open debate on the key questions as to whether the church should bless same-gender couples and whether openly partnered gays and lesbians should be ordained. Current policy rejects both, as established for the Church of England in 1991 and later overwhelmingly affirmed by a meeting of all the bishops of the worldwide Anglican Communion. The basis for this week's discussion was a report called Some Issues in Human Sexuality, which was developed by a group of bishops without any input from open gays or lesbians. The General Synod endorsed the report, a move which was widely viewed as opening the door to future union ceremonies for same-gender couples, particularly since the Synod also adopted a resolution supporting legal recognition of unmarried couples. Last year, controversy forced openly gay but avowedly celibate nominee Geoffrey John to decline a bishopric in the Church of England, and the Anglican Church has been divided worldwide by U.S. Episcopalians consecrating openly partnered gay Gene Robinson, Bishop of New Hampshire.
Marriage dominated U.S. news this week for several reasons. Massachusetts lawmakers held a constitutional convention with denial of marriage rights to same-gender couples at center stage. The state's highest court had just reaffirmed its earlier finding that gays and lesbians cannot be denied marriage equality under the Massachusetts Constitution, and amending that constitution would be the only way to override the court. But despite national media attention, heavy lobbying, massive demonstrations, and intense debate, the so-called ConCon failed to take any action before recessing for another month. A series of proposed anti-marriage amendments, some of them described as compromises because they explicitly allowed for civil unions, were defeated by narrow margins. If the legislature fails to approve an amendment this session, it will add another year to the minimum time before the Constitution can actually be changed.
Legislation to block same-gender marriages continues to progress in other states. This week, the Idaho State House approved a move to amend the state constitution to restrict marriage to heterosexual couples, and the Virginia State House voted for a bill to deny legal recognition to civil unions and domestic partnerships, as well as same-gender marriages. Both those measures move to their state senates next. But another so-called defense of marriage bill in South Dakota appears dead at the hands of a House committee.
Across the U.S., the 6th annual Freedom to Marry Week is in progress, featuring numerous actions seeking marriage equality for same-gender couples. Gay and lesbian couples in states including California, Connecticut, Florida, Ohio, South Carolina, Texas, Virginia, and Wisconsin applied for marriage licenses and were denied them. At least two high-profile California couples rejected in Beverly Hills, Metropolitan Community Church founder Troy Perry and veteran activist Robin Tyler and their partners, intend to pursue lawsuits for marriage equality with the help of famed attorney Gloria Allred.
And finally, San Francisco managed to steal the spotlight even from those celebrities. In what's been described as a publicity stunt by some and as an act of civil disobedience by others, Mayor Gavin Newsom announced February 10th that he wanted to marry a gay or lesbian couple within the week. He called on the county clerk to remove gender specifications from all forms relating to marriage licenses and to begin issuing licenses to gay and lesbian couples applying for them. On February 12th, City Assessor Mabel Teng officiated at the marriage of much-honored veteran lesbian activists Del Martin and Phyllis Lyon, a couple of 51 years standing. They've been followed by a continuing line of gay and lesbian couples obtaining licenses and getting married as quickly as officials could manage, with over 80 marriages performed and over 90 licenses issued on the first day, and well over 940 marriages held by the end of February 13th. The clerk's office extended its hours through the Valentine's Day weekend. Of course, opponents asked a court to stop the marriages, but the judge refused to issue a preliminary injunction, and the court won't reopen until February 16th, so the marriages continue. Do the marriages have any legal significance beyond creating lawsuits? Probably not. But they've made a lot of couples happy, won a lot of media attention, and made a little money for San Francisco. A record $50,000 in marriage license fees through February 13th, plus profits from champagne sales at the City Hall Cafe.
That's News Wrap for the week ending February 14th, 2004, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
We'll get a flash from the past and hip-hop into the future later in the program. That time of year is upon us again, and the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras is still one of the world's best places to spend it. This Way Out correspondent Michael Schembri was among the revelers in Hyde Park on February 6th and shares the flavor of the festivities with the out-to-play drummers, host Bridget Hare, elder Sylvia Scott, and singer Enda Markey. Those were snippets from the stage at the official launch of the 2004 Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras, produced and edited by Michael Schembri.
I'm Clive Barker.
This is Janice Ian.
I'm B.D. Wong.
I'm Kate Clinton.
This is Judy Shepard.
I'm Armistead Maupin.
This is Dorothy Allison.
My name is Billy Bean.
This is Margaret Cho.
This is Greg Louganis.
I'm Patricia Nell Warren.
This is Edmund White.
I'm Ellen DeGeneres.
This is Ian McKellen.
I'm Amanda Burst.
I'm Bruce Valanche. And you're listening to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. Please do stay tuned.
Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded through direct charitable donations from our listeners, and we thank you.
To find out how you can help keep This Way Out on the air and get some queer audio history and timeless music in the bargain,
or for audio cassette subscription information,
please visit our website at thiswayout.org,
email us at tworadio@aol.com,
or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California 90038, USA.
Thanks to Alternabid and the Stonewall Society, you can still bid on some terrific items in an online auction to benefit This Way Out.
Look for the This Way Out auction area at alternabid.com. Still to come, a young transgender artist wraps it like it is. But first, return with us now to those sometimes less than thrilling days of yesteryear as gay writer, director, performer Donald Curry, with producer engineer Jason Gorski, recalls coming of age in the psychedelic tie-dyed whirlwind of 1960 San Francisco. Sex and Mayhem Part 2 is the latest CD installment of what Curry calls his Movie Made of Sound, a fun-filled autobiographical audiobook. In this cut, Curry recalls the pre-Stonewall years of paranoia and events that proved persecution was not imaginary.
We did what was demanded of us at the time. We ate our shame, assumed we were doomed, shucked and jived in public, and took it out on each other in the dark, muffled silence of our rooms. But now that I'm a liberated-in-your-face fag, I look back on that time with some nostalgia. There was something kind of racy about it. Furtive and fevered for us forbidden fruits. You know, you hear older queens say it all the time. We were special then. Different. It was a world apart, a real underground. But Joseph and I were in our own dark bunker. Cut off even from other friends of Dorothy, shunning them, in fact, not wanting to feel that we were one of those swishing, poodle-walking, pomaded poofs, a wiggle in a walk and a giggle in a talk. Ow! Not us! We fancied ourselves Rambo and Verlaine. No silly, supercilious, simpering sachets lisping our way through life while the straights sniggered behind our backs. No, sir! No girlfriend, and get her fish for us two closet cases. We were the avant-garde, baby. We lived in a mince-free zone. We never really camped it up together, even in private. We always had the feeling that at any moment we would be exposed and destroyed. And in a moment, we were. One day he was suddenly fired from the drama department. No reason given, that's it, just pack your bags and vamoose. We were shocked. We were scared. We butched it up and dated girls. I even had one of my only hetero experiences out of gay panic up on Mount Tamalpais on a moonlit night, and I'll spare you the details other than to say that it was probably very hot sex, but I wasn't there. As to Joseph and me, we pretended we hardly knew each other, but it was too late for damage control. You could smell the thick, sticky mephitis of condemnation in the air, the smug, vicious knife thrust of revenge from the faculty who were finally doing away with the renegade in their midst, the jester who'd stolen their fake thunder, taken all the love and jism of the students for himself, and made the rest of the profs look like pokey old parents. They wanted him dead and gone, and we ran away out of town together. Yes, finally together. Cast out like lepers, but lepers in love. My dream come true in our shared nightmare. To a little cabin next to a stream only minutes south of San Francisco, in a valley unexpectedly nestled behind a rundown subdivision. a lush, forgotten seaside valley with old swayback mares grazing near our front porch, two dogs wagging and licking and bounding about in comic relief, and us hidden away as if we were hermits renouncing the world and all its vile works.
That was We Did What Was Demanded from Donald Curry's Sex and Mayhem Part 2. Sex and Mayhem Parts 1 and 2 are available at cdbaby.com. Jacob Perez, a San Francisco hip-hop MC originally from Guam, takes his activism as seriously as his art. He performs as Scarletto, identifies as an Asian Pacific Islander tranny boy, and he's on a mission to fight invisibility and inspire unity. Perez talks about his politics and shares some of his poetry with Ala Pekareva and Heather Regal of the Outloud Queer Youth Radio Project.
How did you get into hip-hop?
I got into hip-hop through influences, through other artists, spoken word artists, when I came here in 2000. Before that, I was doing folk music, so I was really into the folk scene. I still am, but yeah, I have a passion for hip-hop as well.
That's kind of an odd transition. You want to describe how that came about?
It was actually not a willing choice that I made on myself. I actually have a tendonitis on both my left and right hand. So as a guitar player, you need both your hands. And so I took up hip-hop and spoken word because it didn't require, you know, playing an instrument. And I'm having a good time, actually. I'm learning a lot from other spoken word artists and, you know, just being a part of the scene and stuff. So I'm very grateful for that.
What inspires you to perform hip-hop or spoken word?
Besides activism, the music. I love music. I grew up with it. You know, music is a very powerful tool to use as inspiration and as activism. So I'm always, you know, trying to push people to question a lot of taboo, you know, topics like sexual abuse, rape, sex in the queer community, being queer, transgendered, female to male transgenderism, female to male of color transgenderism, because a lot of times we're invisible, even in the gay communities. But now it's time for all of us to get together, you know, and really try to push the movement, which we all stand for, you know, because right now we're all fighting with each other. You know, you got the dykes hating the gay men hating the dykes, and sexism and racism, you know, interplays with that as well. The old and the new, the young are fighting. You know, we cannot communicate still, you know, but we cannot move unless we come together.
All right. So, Jacob, would you mind giving us one of your pieces?
Not at all. All right. So this piece I'm going to perform is called Cathaholic Coming Out. And basically, since I'm not from the United States of America, I'm from Guam originally. We are a U.S. territory, but we're still our own culture. It's very closeted and homophobic there and transphobic. So this is going out to all of my peeps, especially my parents. To my Catholic mother and my Catholic father, how I pray to see the day when you'll both be sober and finally see me for the beautiful seed that God blessed you with, instead of the seed of disgrace and punishment for all of the mistakes that you made in the past. But the past is never the past, because we can't learn from it. Let it go and be just that. Why can't we learn from it? Let it go and be just that. But no, growing up was a hard and quick phase. Being invisible was part of being raised in a closed-minded traditional sense that my God made me for no good intent. Can I get a f*** that? Hell yeah. Can I get another f*** that? F*** that. Because, you know, it's bullshit. It's motherfucking bullshit. Because we're not a disgrace, and I will not be ashamed. And I'm tired of seeing me and my sisters and brothers being displaced into these up freak categories and labels as stereotypical duffers. I'm tired of seeing me and my sisters and brothers taking the blame with blind eyes, holding on to the shame of who we, how we, what we, why we keep forgetting the V to the E to the R to the B. It's the L-O-V-E. It's our love. It's our beautiful love of our beautiful and blessed yet USA guaranteed oppressed gay trans family, because we're always a sucker for controversy, living in this world of depression from oppression, living through still here and now hardcore civil rights rejection, because we give off Cause I give off who I f*** is more important than who I am impression. But unless you're asking me personally, Uncle Sam, or Pope John Paul II, I hope and I pray that you know I'm praying for you too. Yeah, I hope and I pray that you know we're praying for you too. Peace. Much love.
Very nice. Great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Something that struck me, it was talking about being invisible growing up. Do you see that invisibility amongst your peers? I mean, isn't that a big issue with the queer community and trying to struggle with that invisibility?
We are invisible. You know, we're not, I don't know, like it's just really weird. Like, I didn't even know about trannies, you know, until like, I don't know, a few years ago, you know, at least tranny boys. And so I really, until I went to San Francisco, came to San Francisco in 2000, that's when I started to realize I put a face to all these trans men, and they're very happy, you know, and they're very, you know, successful in their lives. And I thought, this is me. This was always me. I, you know, I'd never had that option before, but, you know, because I saw it and I talked with them, I got to know them. I was like, yeah, you know, this is my life, you know. But yeah, we are very definitely invisible. I mean, just ask yourself, how many tranny boys do you know?
So Jacob, what are your goals and where do you see yourself in the future?
Well, I would love, and I'm striving to own my own record label. And I would love to produce other queer artists, music and film, and basically just the activism. There's always work to be done when it comes to activism. Because you can be real and you can be sexy at the same time. You don't have to be like all Prince, like, be honest with who you are, you know? And as long as you're doing that, then hey, it's all good, you know? The karma will fly. I'm all about peace, you know? So I'm trying to spread the peace. I'm trying to spread the love. And again, bring the movement forward, because we are stagnant. We've been stagnant for 10 years. It's just ridiculous. We got gay people all over the place now. We got gay people in TV and mainstream coming out more. Queer people of color, trannies are coming out now with hip hop as, you know, a really great tool, inspirational tool. So I just want to hopefully, you know, get that message across that we are one and that we should be fighting for one love.
Jacob Perez is the young San Francisco hip-hop MC, also known as Scarletto. He was interviewed by Ala Pekareva and Heather Regal of the Out Loud Queer Youth Radio Project. For more info, point your internet browser to outloudradio.org. Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Christopher Gall, Graham Underhill, Fensberry, Rex Walkner, Michael Schembri, Donald Curry, and Ala Pekareva and Heather Regal contributed program material. Thanks also to Noah Miller and the Out Loud Queer Youth Radio Project. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. You can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Remember, you can help this program stay on the air. Please log on to thiswayout.org and share the love. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on WHRW Binghamton, New York, KUNR Reno, Nevada, 5UV Adelaide, South Australia, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. And as Bruce Valanche would say,
please